content of this program is intended for the blind and print impaired. Hello and happy Sunday. My name is Jim DeJunis from the North Carolina Reading Service. The name of our program is Reflections, and for the next 30 minutes, we'll be reading from the Bible, the Holy Bible, and today we're reading from Matthew. We also read a daily devotional called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young, and from time to time, we'll also read some words from other well-known theologians and Christian writers. Let us begin today with some prayer. And we say, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this day, this glorious day that you made. This day that we have the opportunity to hear your word, your loving word, your kind and generous word. We ask, Lord, that these words be put into our hearts, our minds, and our souls, that we may share them and live them. And Father, that we may be renewed by this tremendous love you have for us. The love that you have for us, that you gave us Jesus Christ, your only Son, that through him we may have faith in his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven, and the gift of your Holy Spirit that lives within us. Father, that we may look to your Spirit for wisdom and guidance, that your love may be transformed and transported to other people that we encounter. We're so grateful. Father, we ask that this day and every day be a blessing, and that we always praise you and rejoice and are thankful for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Jesus Calling today says you can achieve the victorious life through living in deep dependence on me. People usually associate victory with success, not falling or stumbling, not making mistakes, but those who are successful in their own strength tend to go their own way, forgetting about me. It is through problems and failure, weakness and neediness, that you learn to rely on me. True dependence is not simply asking me to bless you what you have decided to do. It is coming to me with an open mind and heart, inviting me to plant my desires within you. I'm going to repeat that. True dependence is not simply asking me to bless you with what you've decided to do. It is coming to me with an open mind and heart, inviting me to plant my desires within you. I may infuse within you a dream that seems far beyond your reach. You know that in yourself you cannot achieve such a goal. Thus begins your journey of profound reliance on me. It is a faith walk, taken one step at a time, leaning on me as much as you need. This is not a path of continual success, but of multiple failures. However, each failure is followed by a growth spurt, nourished by increased reliance on me. Enjoy the blessedness of a victorious life through deepening your dependence on me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, For we walk by faith, not by sight. And then Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18 read, The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who have a crushed spirit. Well, Happy New Year. We're excited for you to join us again this Sunday. And the last several weeks, we've been reading the book of Matthew. And last week, we heard words of Jesus' wisdom. We heard about the Sermon on the Mount. And he gave us ways on how to live and to conduct ourselves. I pray and hope that those words were absorbed into our bodies and minds and souls, and that we can constantly rely on him, like Sarah Young's reading today says, that he doesn't request or expect us to do this on our own. He wants to be there for us. He wants us to come to him at all times, not sometimes, not when it's the bad time or just the good time. He wants us relying on him always, always. And the words last week in the book of Matthew were there to give us guidance. And for those that can memorize that, wonderful. But those that can't, let's make sure we know where to find those words, where to rely on Scripture to get through the day and to rely on Jesus and God to help us through that time. So today we begin with chapter 8, and this is still a big part of Jesus' missionary work. We just concluded the Sermon on the Mount, and he's now kind of stepping away from that. And we'll begin reading. Chapter 8, verse 1. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes, and I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished, and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on them. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what the prophet had spoken through the book of Isaiah: "He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases." When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Chapter 8, verse 21 and 22. Another disciple came to him, "Lord, first let me go bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." Boy, that sometimes is troubling, right? We want to be respectful of the life that we have, respectful of the family that we have, respectful of our parents. But Jesus does not call us just to that. Again, we have talked about in the past, we are to put him first. Him first, always. So it is impossible that this disciple was not just asking permission to go to his father's funeral, but maybe he was the firstborn son and wanted to be sure that his claim to his inheritance. Perhaps he didn't want to face his father's wrath if he left the family business to follow a preacher. Whether his concern was financial security or family approval or something else, he did not want to commit himself to Jesus just yet. Jesus, however, would not accept this excuse. Jesus was always direct with those who wanted to follow him. He made sure they counted the cost and set aside any conditions they might have in following him. As God's son, Jesus did not hesitate to demand complete loyalty. Even family loyalty was not to take priority over the demands of obedience. His direct challenge forces us to ask ourselves about our own priorities in following him. The decision to follow Jesus should not be put off. Even though the loyalties compete for our attention, nothing should be placed above a total commitment to living for him. Nothing should compete with Christ. He should be first. He should be foremost in our minds and souls. And then everything else will take care of itself. Verse 23. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." When he arrived at the other side of the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men came from the tombs, met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with the Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down into the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off into town and reported all this, including what happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they pleaded for him to leave their region. Chapter 9. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought him a paralytic lying on a mat. Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. And that's the Matthew that wrote the scripture, this gospel. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunken cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." While he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter just died, but come and put your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that very moment. When Jesus entered the ruler's house and saw that the flute players and the noisy crowd, he said, "Go away, the girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread throughout all the region. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men following him called out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." While he had gone indoors, the blind men came in. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked, "Do you believe that I am able to..." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them. Jesus asked the blind men, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done for you?" And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amused and said, "Nothing like this has ever been done in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons." Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Chapter 10. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who wound up betraying him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go amongst the Gentiles or enter any of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, you will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brothers will betray brothers to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is not enough for a student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that you will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. What does that mean? What that means is that Jesus came to proclaim his truth to all. It's his deepest desire that all will receive that truth. But the reality is, many will not. But those who do are not to back down, or not to be timid, or not to be shy about their truth, their acceptance of Jesus, but to actually live it. And in that living Jesus, we will create enemies. Some of those enemies may be in our own homes, which is unfortunate. And he's not saying here that we're going to go kill anyone or hurt anyone, but there will be conflict. There'll be hurt emotions. Your faith may separate you from someone you love today. That love you have for them today may just be an earthly love, a fleshly love, but it may not be a spiritual love. Look for the Spirit's love. Verse 37. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Chapter 11. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When Jesus heard in prison that Jesus was doing what Jesus was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out and see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare the way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcibly advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. For if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who has to come. He who has ears, let him hear. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said he was a demon. The Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and they said he is a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proven right by her actions." Then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of the miracles had been performed because they have not repented. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If miracles were performed in you and have been performed in Tyre or Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, if it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, you will be lifted up into the skies. No, you will go down into the depths. For the miracles that were performed in you have been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it would be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. At that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We're going to stop the reading today, and we just concluded chapter 11 in the book of Matthew. And again, praise God for the wisdom of Jesus' words, Jesus' teachings. And I guess to summarize today, again, like on most days, it is all about putting God first, accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, so that we might have that relationship with God. And when we have that relationship with God, putting him first becomes easier, becomes natural. We're so blessed, Lord, to have these words of encouragement, these words of life, these words of obedience and praise and glory and all things for your honor. Father, as we begin this 2020, a new decade, we are excited, Father, that our love may continue to grow for you, that we may continue to preach your word, speak your word, live your word, share your word, love your word. Father, we thank you for our listening audience. We thank you for their families. We thank you for our fine state, our fine city, our fine nation. And we thank very much the North Carolina Reading Service for providing us with the opportunity to share these holy words, these lovely words, these words of encouragement. So thank you for joining us this Sunday. We hope you can join us next Sunday. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. If you have any comments or questions about our program, please provide the feedback by calling 919-832-5138. Peace, and may God bless you and those you love this day and every day. God's peace.